Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Well, it's the Derby County Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, on Love Sport Radio, the station giving you, the fans, a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. And I'm sure you're all aware of the big news in the last week or so, the coronavirus putting a temporary end to sport around the world. But where does this leave life in the EFL and your team Derby? Well, don't worry, we're here tonight to not only give you your sporting fix, but to try and get across what is going on. There was only one man for the job tonight, the man we go to every Monday, Simon Long, aka Rams writer. Simon, unusual week, no one really knows what's next. Only last week we were previewing the games and now they're off until further notice. What are you making of it?
Oh, it's hard to put into words, really. It's obviously everyone's health comes before sport, but what it is showing is how much sport is part of people's lives, and how much, well, yeah, especially football. You know, we all know how much football gets talked about, and you know, how people say, oh, you know, it's the biggest game in the world, and being without it, it's proving it. Everyone knows what to do at the weekend now. But there's so many unanswered questions with it. You know, what's going to happen with the league? You know, what's going to happen with the best contracts? You know, are we going to finish the league? What's going to happen with the Euros? There's so many unanswered questions, and no one's really prepared for it. So just sort of make you question, though, why is there nothing, you know, a bit of fine print maybe in the rule book that states if a major event happens, This is what we do with it, you know, because obviously the league's never ever been abandoned since World War II. There's only three games played in that, but you know, surely we should be looking at whether, you know, made the rule book up and said, well, just in case that, you know, there's a situation where that football has to be suspended again or abandoned, perhaps that we have to do this.
Yeah, it's a really unusual, unprecedented time for everyone, Simon. So many wide-ranging different opinions and calls, whether the game should be resumed or made null and void. What are your thoughts on that? Because, you know, we're waiting for those precious meetings this week, the Premier League and the EFL. We won't know whether it'll be resumed or scrapped or extended and the domino effect that has. Just for you personally, and I know you're across with other fans as well, you know, at the Rams writer page, what do you think the ideal solution is?
For me, I think the sort of, there's no right or wrong way about it, because someone's going to benefit, someone's, you know, is going to lose, you know. And if you abandon the season, that's it, you call it off, it's done, no one goes up, no one goes down. But obviously there'll be a lot of, you know, a lot of legal aspect to go into that, a lot of clubs wanting money, you know, and a lot of clubs losing out on money. Then you go to the aspect of extending it, but we don't know how long this is going to go on for. So when does it come to a point where you go, well, we can't extend it anymore? Because if this goes on for another year, what we're going to do? We'll play the remaining nine games. What? You know, because it's going to have an impact on the players as well. You know, if the players aren't playing, they're not going to be match fit. So and then we're hearing stuff of, well, I think the best way to do it is make it so Leeds and West Brom, because they're top two, they go up, and we have a 22 team Premier League. Well, so that's fine. So all the Premier League teams don't get, you know, relegated or anything like that. Yet the AFL teams get to go up, but that's going to have a knock-on effect all the way down the leagues. So it's just, I think it's a mess, and it's going to be a tough one for, you know, all the chief executives, if you like, to try and sort this out. But for me personally, I think, you know, just taking the easy way out and just going, right, we're going to have to abandon, null and void the season. Everyone stays where they are. You start where you are next season. But again, the only thing that is going to come to that is sponsorship deals, you know, with the clubs, ticket sales with the clubs, you know, because the Premier League, it doesn't matter with them, you know. I don't really think their ticket revenue goes, you know, it doesn't touch the sides. But the EFL teams, and I'm not just talking about Championship, I'm talking about League One and League Two, they need that revenue. So something's got to be sorted. And, you know, I don't sort of believe in playing games behind closed doors, because, you know, football's nothing without fans. The fans are part of football, and, you know, and football is for the fans. So I think it would be a bit harsh to sort of play games behind closed doors, you know, because a lot of fans are missing out. Can you imagine, for instance, Liverpool winning the league and their fans not being there? Or, for instance, you know, say Derby got to the playoffs. You know, they all of a sudden went a miraculous run and they made it into the playoffs, and you weren't there to see that. I just think for the fans, it'd be terrible.
Yeah, and this is kind of really the heart of the issue that I want to get into, Simon, because I'm so glad you brought it up. And everything is always spoken about or talked about from a Premier League perspective. But what about League One, League Two, the Championship? Even the National League was still played this weekend. And we're not just talking about, you know, and it is a big issue, players being match fit and the fans going to games, but the livelihood who are affected by the people that work at these clubs in the day-to-day running and in the day-to-day operations. And there's a lot to be said for that when we are consulting over what happens next.
There is, because we're not just talking about players here, we're talking about kitman, you know, the catering staff, all of them as well. This affects them and their lives as well. And it's just like me, you know, it's like me going to work. You know, if I can't work, I don't get paid. All of a sudden, it's, well, what am I doing? How am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to put food on the table for my kids? You know, and that goes down through the whole league. So it's all like saying, oh, yeah, Premier League can do this, that, and the other. But the Premier League, you know, whatever. Do what you want with the Premier League. You've got to look after the EFL and the teams, you know, all the way down the road. You can even go to grassroots, if you like, because they're all being affected. Grassroots has now been called off. So it runs. It's a big ladder. And, you know, it's going to affect everyone down from the top of the ladder all the way down to the bottom. And this is why it needs to be, you know, looked at thoroughly, and not just a split decision. Yeah, that's what we're going to do, and this is, you know, it needs to be really. And I think having this time, that I know they've said it all games are off till April 3rd, but I can definitely see it going longer than that. But it's brought them some time to sort of try and work out the best way to resolve this issue, and, you know, to resolve the season, and, you know, to stop clubs losing out. And because we don't want any, you know, we've already seen Bury go into administration this season. You know, we saw Bolton almost go into administration. You know, and we don't want, you know, to watch the Football League just fold because of this one incident, because they didn't support these lower league clubs.
Yeah, and on that, do you feel like that the EFL is sort of, maybe the wrong choice of words here, but a little bit held hostage into what the Premier League does, because we have to wait to see the Premier League. The Premier League cancelled the games, EFL followed suit, and the EFL, just for me, it always feels like they have to fall in line with what the Premier League does.
No, I agree. They do. They can't go off on their own. They have to see what the... It's like I said, you know, before, with two up and, you know, no from the Premier League going down. Well, no, you can't do that, because then it disrupts the EFL. And the Premier League is sort of using the EFL as its puppet, if you like, then. You know? If the Premier League says jump, the EFL says how high. And they can't be doing that, and it's not right that they have to do that. And I think this is where it does get messy, is because the Premier League think, well, we'll shut ourselves out and to hell with everyone else. As long as the Premier League's, you know, up and running and bringing in all the money, etc., then, you know, the EFL were not bothered about that. But the EFL it's probably got more fans combined than the Premier League has, because there's so many teams involved in it. You know, 24 teams, you know, in the leagues below, and there's only 20 in the Premier League. So there's a hell of a lot of fans that, you know, are potentially going to just have to, well, the Premier League said we've got to do this, so we better do it. And that's not right, and that shouldn't be how it's being dealt with.
Yeah, it's such a difficult one with the fans, and because they are the lifeblood of the sport. We've spoke about that, Simon, and you know, maybe is that a reaction then? Could we see potential? Because there's a lot of solutions currently on the table, you know, one being that the games are played behind closed doors. What would you see rather, a null and void, or what solution fits you best, do you think?
Me personally, I think I'd just happy to see it be null and void. And that's not going against, you know, people say, well, you're a Derby fan, you don't need to go up. I'm not bothered about that. I really couldn't care. I just think it's the league's not won. How can you reward someone for not winning something? Because there's 9 games left. And as a Derby fan, like I said, we're back-to-back league wins, 5 points off the playoffs, gaining momentum. So there was nothing to say that in these 9 games, we couldn't have won 7 or 8 of them and potentially got ourselves into a playoff race. And then it'd be taken away. And at the moment, the team at the moment, you got to feel sorry for Fulham. They're lining third. And, you know, if 2 go up, and well, what about Fulham? Mm. You know, they miss out when, you know, automatically 3 go up. Because what they're saying is, you know, 2 go up and then 4 come down. Well, okay, so the season after, just 2 go up and we don't bother playing for the playoffs. That's what, you know, I mean, that's what the championship is about. The championship, you know, you know that you don't have to be the best 2 teams in the league, but you can get in and around that top 6, and that is why it's so competitive. And that goes down from League 1 and League 2 as well, because they've got the playoffs. All the leagues are competitive, you know, and I think it'd be a massive injustice if that was the route they were to go down, was in the top 2 championship teams now into the Premier League and having a 22-team league next season.
But are they saying that because it's West Brom and Leeds and, you know, potential big clubs, the bigger club bias question, would they be saying it if it was a Brentford and a Preston and those top 2? Why have they decided potentially in that proposal that is the cut-off date? So interesting. Simon is staying around because there's been a couple of other issues really revolving around Derby, and this is the Derby County Fan Show. Best place to speak about him. We will be speaking about Mr. Captain Fantastic, Mr. Wayne Rooney.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Derby County Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, still joined in the studio with Simon Long, a.k.a. Ramsrutter, my co-host, my partner in crime for the Derby County Fan Show. Real big week, not just for Premier League clubs, EFL clubs, it's the clubs we care about. Championship, League 1, League 2, even though the National League still played games this season, they have now been suspended as well. And breaking news, only in the last few minutes into the studio, the Grand National has been cancelled as well. Big news there because no horse racing. That was the one sport that was really continuing, but that has been put on hold as well. Simon, I want to talk about now, obviously, still the coronavirus, but in terms of a Derby perspective, Wayne Rooney's been speaking on this. He actually does a new column, a new article, speaking about it, saying he feels like players were treated like guinea pigs. What about their welfare? They were playing, they're not playing, waiting around for this decision, and their health was a little bit forgotten about as well.
Yeah, it was. To be honest, I've seen some comments from fans of other clubs, fans of our clubs, going, well, yeah, but they get paid a load of money. It's irrelevant. They ain't going to be getting paid if they're cooped up with coronavirus. And you've got to think of their families. You know, Wayne Rooney was expressing about how he felt because, you know, he's got, you know, a wife and he's got kids and everything. And in reality, they were put at risk to go out and play a game when other people have been stopped. You know, we're trying to stop, you know, a lot of gatherings, if you like. So I agree with him, you know, to be honest, that the way they were treated, it wasn't fair. I mean, as soon as, obviously, he brought up Mikel Arteta, and as soon as I heard that, I thought, well, the Forest manager, the Forest owner got coronavirus as well. Arteta's got it. Millwall played Forest the week before.
On the Friday.
So there is a risk that a Millwall player could have it, you know, a Millwall member of staff could have it, you know. So all of a sudden, you know, and I thought, I wonder if our game's going to be cancelled. And then, you know, for it to then wait until Friday, it was a bit like, well, I thought it would have been a bit sooner, you know, because of obviously the effects of everything and the knock-on effects, because this COVID-19, you know, no one really knows a great deal about it. It's brand new. and we don't know the full risk and the full impact, and we're seeing that, you know, we're seeing the amount of, you know, lives that are being lost. So it's just a, you know, I agree with him for what he says. He did, you know, feel like a bit of a guinea pig, and he did feel like, you know, why aren't they taking action sooner? Why are they putting himself as an athlete and the rest of the players, you know, at risk of catching this virus? I mean, we've seen, obviously, Callum Hudson-Odoi had it as well. You know, again, so if they've not done anything, he could have been passing it on around, and now all of a sudden, you know, you've got all these football players that are all ill, and you don't know what the repercussions are. You know, you don't know if you're going to come out of the other side. You know, that's the risk, and like, so I get exactly where he's coming from, that they should have handled it a lot better than they did.
Yeah, they should have. And it's interesting because, you know, anytime Wayne Rooney speaks, you know, it makes a headline. But maybe speaking out on behalf of players, because maybe they have been a little left behind in this, which we will talk about. But Simon, on Love Sport Breakfast this morning with Patrick Christie and Matt Beadle, they were speaking to former Derby player Mark Edworthy, and he had to say this about Wayne Rooney's comments.
I think what he's done, I think other players probably would have been thinking about saying this, but coming from Wayne Rooney, and that's no respect, disrespect to any other players, of course. But he's a real voice, isn't he? And he makes a statement. I think when he makes any sort of statement, when it's on the field, it gets publicised and magnified, you know, hugely. His goals, his whatever it may be. And I think he's just spoke, you know, as we said, he's a family man, isn't he now? He's got four children. He's worried about the safety and the concern and health of his family. And I think that's why he's put that message out there. And it was a clear one.
A clear message there from Wayne Rooney, says Mark Edworthy. Obviously knows Derby County very well. And it is true, isn't it? When Wayne Rooney speaks, players listen. And in that, we're talking about La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A. You know, very quick to act on this. Were the EFL and the Premier League a little bit behind, slow off the mark at all, Simon?
I think they were, but I think they didn't realise. In their defence, I don't think they realised how serious this could potentially be. I mean, obviously, looking at obviously cases, Italy was, you know, that's probably, I think it's the highest amount of cases in Europe, and Spain again, I think the second amount. So yeah, they acted very, very quick, and I think it was almost, you know, a bit like the sort of British mentality is, you know, well, this ain't going to affect us, we'll be fine. So I think, yeah, they were a bit slow to react to the whole thing. And he's right with what he's saying. You know, I totally agree with him. And when he talks, people do listen. And that just shows the character and the nature of the man that he is. But yeah, I think we should have, you know, the EFL and the Premier League all should have just gone, right, okay, they're cancelling theirs. Maybe we should do the same thing, not wait and wait and wait and then cancel right at the last minute.
No, they shouldn't have cancelled right at the last minute. It's so strange, but we're going to see what decision they obviously make at the end of the week. But you wrote a brilliant article, Simon, that I want to talk about. You wrote it on the Champ Base, and obviously, maybe in this time, it could be used as a foundation, a positive, because we talk about how managers aren't really given that much time, you know, and they're fired very quickly, you know, people want instant results. But maybe could this be of benefit to Philip Cocu, because, you know, time to work on more things, get players back from injury, and in a way, could actually benefit Derby County.
Yeah, definitely. As I said in the article, I think, you know, a lot of chairmen and owners of clubs are too quick to sort of jump the gun and pull the trigger and get rid of managers, and don't let them sort of build their philosophy. And I think Mel Morris has learnt that from, you know, his past experiences. You know, he sacked managers on the spot just for having a bit of a bad run. You know, we could have been having a great season. All of a sudden, we had a dip in form, which is natural in football. And then it was, right, you're gone. I'll have someone else in. And for him to sort of not do that showed that, he really did trust and he really does trust what Cocu's there and what Cocu can bring. And, yeah, you're right. You know, he has now got time to obviously go over things and try and carry on improving. I think, you know, he's come at the wrong time because of the form we were in. But yeah, he has been given that time, and he has been given that time to sort of build his squad, build his team. And we are seeing, you know, we're seeing the results on the pitch. Yeah, it's not half a season, I suppose, to sort of start seeing them results. But he was given that. And obviously in my article that I wrote, I went on to go on, I went on about Jonathan Woodgate in Middlesbrough, a rookie manager. You know, quite Steve Gibson could have quite easily pulled the plug on him and gone, no, not having it. But he's trying to build something, and they are starting to have a little bit of turning fortune. And I think just to prove my point was Daniel Stendel at Barnsley. You know, he did wonders with them in League One, got them promoted, and then he struggled in the Championship, and they only gave him 2 months, or not even that, to try and pull things around, and he didn't, and he got sacked, and now they're exactly the same as the position as where they were when they sacked him.
Yeah.
So, for me, you've got, I think owners, you know, of all clubs have got to start, you know, giving managers time to build what they want, build their philosophy. Another one is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Man United. You know, he came in and he was brilliant, you know, and you had Rio Ferdinand, you know, proper bigging him up as and give him the contract. Then all of a sudden things took a turn, wasn't getting the results, start of the season, still wasn't getting the results, wasn't getting the performances. But now the players are buying into him. And I think that's another thing as well, that why managers need to come, is so the players can sort of buy into their philosophy. I mean, I spent most of my weekend watching games from last season just because why not? And there was times under Frank Lampard where, you know, especially at the start of the season where it wasn't clicking, things weren't working. You know, and but as the season went on and progressed, we got better and better and better. And you know, you could see why we thoroughly did deserve, I felt, to get that playoff place in the end.
It's so true, though, about the managers. Woodgate, Stendel, obviously, who's now at Hearts, you know, in that wonderful form they had at Oakwell, and he wasn't given a time. And Koku, his first experience in England as a manager, it will take a little bit of period of adaptation and just transferring what he knows from other leagues onto those players. They're not going to pick it up overnight. And as we always said, it bodes well for year two, and it does bode well for year two when you've got such good youth players on the horizon. The under-23s, I know they lost 6-5 on penalties to West Damn, but we're talking about real positive next generation stars and talent, you know, on the horizon for this Derby County side, aren't we, Simon?
Definitely. There is so many. I mean, we've already brought players through, and you can sort of see where they're at, because I think our 23s are sort of having a bit of a dip because we've taken them players out of the academy. But there is still players shining, like Eber Saley, like Jamal Hector Ingram, like Archie Brown, like Jordan Brown. The list goes on. And that really does bode well for the future of Derby County, because we don't have to pay ridiculous fees on transfers for players. Yes, we might have to buy a couple in just to add that experience to the side, but we've got a heck of a lot of players we can pluck through our youth system and go, yeah, you're making it, you're making it. But what that also leads is the fact that we can then make money on them. You know, look at the likes of Jaden Bogle. He had interest from Italy in the summer. He's from our academy. He cost us nothing. And, you know, you've got profit there straight away. So I think this is what, you know, this is the sort of model that Mel's trying to build with these youth players. And that is why Koku was the perfect fit for the club. Not only has he got experience of doing that before, but he's also won trophies doing this before, pulling the players out of the academy, putting them in the first team, making a success out of them and making money out of them. And that's the way the club's going now. And there's plenty of talent, even in the under-18s. You know, we saw, you know, the how well they did in the sort of the Champions League for the youth teams, if you like. You know, unfortunate to get knocked out by a very good Salzburg academy, but before that they beat Borussia Dortmund. So there is a lot of hope and a lot of light on the horizon that says, you know what, in a couple of years, Derby County are going to be back and they're going to be fighting. You know, I personally think, you know, he's sort of found a system, he's found the right model, the right philosophy that these players he's got at the moment are buying into. So I thought next season we could have been in a brilliant position to start and think, you know what, this Championship's ours this year, because we've got the foundations and we've got the right manager, the right philosophy. Mel's backing him now to the hilt. We can see that. He's shown that. he's shown the faith he's put in him, because we were in a relegation slog at Christmas time, and all of a sudden we're 5 points off the playoffs. Unfortunately, it feels like it may have to end like this, but you don't know, you know, we don't know what the future brings for the rest of the season. But next season, I feel we're going to be in an even better position to start working our way and looking up that table and start looking towards the Premier League.
Yeah, and exactly. That's what you said. A bright new horizon, a bright new dawning chapter for Derby with those young players. Me and you have spoken them about length. I'm gutted there was no football, Simon, because you were starting to get positive and confident about that 5 points off. Simon, really appreciate you coming on. There was no football, but still so many incidents and top stories for me and you to go over. Simon Long there from the Rams writer. Make sure you check out all of these stuff, extra Derby content. It's always available. Like, they're always available on these fan shows on Love Sport Radio. We'll be back on the Derby County Fan Show next Monday, 8:30 to 9.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.